Thank you, Brady. If you've marked your songbooks, if you would please take a Bible and turn to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to begin with the text there in just a few moments. The text that Brother Bass read for us a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 13 is a very extensive section in the Gospel of Matthew, which records a parable that is found in all of the synoptic Gospels, the parable of the sower. In the midst of this parable discourse, in which the Lord goes through and teaches in a number of different parables and offers explanations for some of those, he makes a number of statements regarding why it is that he taught in parables. And in the course of that, and in the course of urging those who heard him and his disciples to listen in a way that would be effective, he makes some statements I'd like for us to look at. And we're going to, as we progress through our lesson this morning, look at elements of the way that the different Gospels record this parable discourse. And I want us to begin with a text in Mark chapter 4, which gives Mark's account of this same parable discourse. In Mark chapter 4, read with me beginning in verse 23, and we'll go down to verse 25. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. I want you to notice here the way that the Lord speaks of a couple of things. First of all, he describes a willingness to listen and absorb and to follow those things that he's teaching in verse 23 as having ears to hear. You know, all of us essentially have ears that operate the same way, some a little better, some a little worse. Some may need some assistance of some device or something like that. But what he's talking about here is a disposition of the heart that is willing to hear those sounds, hear those things that are taught, and implement them into our lives. And I want you to notice as well in verse 24 and 25, he describes it almost as something that you would absorb, you would carry, you would take. With the idea that he uses here, with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. To you who hear, more will be given. Now, this is not saying, well, whoever heard the most lessons that Jesus taught, and whoever hears the most of the reading of Scripture. Instead, it's talking about it almost in that same sense of what you hear, but also what you absorb, what you take in. And if you take in more and you apply more, then there'll be greater benefit to you. And this leads to a question I'd like us to ask ourselves this morning that will serve as kind of the focus of our lesson. How well do you listen? And I'm not talking particularly about this lesson this morning in a specific way. I hope that you'll listen to the things that we have to say. But what I'm talking about more than that is, how do we listen to the Word of God? How do we listen to the things that He would teach us? Now, you may say, well, what do you mean by that? There's not much to listening to the things that are taught or the things that are revealed within God's Word. Well, that's not exactly correct. Go back to the text in Matthew chapter 13. And I want us to notice something else in that same text that Brother Bass read for us a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. It is very clear that there are different types of listeners. And I think you've seen that as well. You know, if you're a teacher, if you've ever taught a Bible class back here, or if you are a teacher in the public schools, or maybe you're homeschooling your children and you're teaching them, you know very well that there are certain days in which you may speak things and they just soak up every word that you say. There are other times in which you're saying words, they are looking, their ears are operating supposedly, but they are not absorbing those things. They're not hearing them. It's very clear that when we're talking about spiritual matters, when it comes to listening to the Word of God, The Bible indicates to us that there are some who are hard of hearing. Matthew chapter 13, notice verses 13 through 15. An element of what Brother Bass read for us. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." You know, there's a rather curious view that is held in some of the religious world, and it relates to the placement of Matthew chapter 13. There are some and many who hold to the doctrine of premillennialism, that the Lord has not yet established His kingdom, and that one day He'll establish a kingdom in the future. Those who fail to recognize that the church was the kingdom that God established. Many who hold to that view will argue that when Jesus first came, He intended to set up a kingdom. But when the Jews rejected Him, they see Matthew chapter 13 as a little bit of a dividing line. Because they will argue that, well, from that point on, He began to speak to them in parables, so they wouldn't really understand what He was saying. I think that misses a couple of things. First of all, it misses the fact that there is parabolic teaching that comes before Matthew chapter 13, and there is literal teaching that comes after Matthew chapter 13. And even in the course of Matthew chapter 13, when He gives His explanation for why He teaches in parables, it's not really that the Lord is just trying to trip people up. Instead, He is testing the nature of their hearing. He's testing their willingness to either have a heart that is open and ears that are receptive, or He is seeing if they are hard of hearing. You know, if we look to the Word of God, and we approach it with a preconceived idea, we're not going to hear those things that the Lord would teach us. We're not going to respond to them in the way that we ought to. And this is not just something that is a danger for those that are outside of Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 with me for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to notice that the Hebrew writer, addressing those that, by and large, from everything we can understand, though he gives them stern warning, he is speaking to those that are believers in Christ. But I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, the very stern warning that he gives to them. Beginning, if you would, in verse 9, he's talking to them about some things related to Jesus and who Jesus was, what he did, and how he was the high priest, as he'll refer to the text that he's described, where it makes a prophecy about one that will be a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Notice in verse 9 it says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest." And here he quotes from the psalm, "According to the order of Melchizedek, of which we have much to say and hard to explain." Now, why is it hard to explain? "Since you have become dull of hearing." You know, Christians can get to that point. We are so accustomed to hearing the Word of God preached and taught. We are accustomed to being in Bible classes and studying for Bible classes. But we, just like the Hebrew writer warns here, can become dull of hearing, so that message that is right before us in the Word of God, it's not penetrating to our heart. Now, it's not that we've never accepted the message. We've accepted it. But we are allowing our hearing to become dulled or to be desensitized to the things that we need to hear. You know, I think we see this perhaps all the time if you're around a family maybe that has a lot of kids. I have come to realize that I've gotten used to not having kids around. And I'm not able very well, when there are a lot of children talking, to kind of turn that off and focus on something else. You know, parents that are in a situation like that, in order for them to get things done, they're able to do that. Now, I'm not critical of that. That, in fact, is something quite necessary. But in essence, they become dull of hearing to all of the particular sounds because they're focused on something else. If we're talking about spiritual matters, if we're not careful, we will become dull of hearing to those things that would speak to us from the Word of God because we're busy with other things and we've become distracted with other things. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think we see that there is another type of hearing that can be equally dangerous. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the young man Timothy about some dangerous times that would come. Times not that different, perhaps, than what we are used to, what we have experienced. He has warned him to be ready and to be prepared. Right in the verse before we'll begin reading, he had urged him to preach the word and to be ready. And notice in verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." What kind of listener am I? Am I one that I'm going to follow what the Word of God says so long as it tickles my ear? So long as it's the kind of thing that I enjoy and I want to do. You know, there's some hard things in the Word of God. In the very text that we began with there in Mark and in Matthew chapter 13, there we see that he's laying down some principles that are not intended to trip them up, but are intended to determine whether or not they have the fortitude. They are intended to determine whether or not they will truly follow him or just follow their own desires. Here Paul warns Timothy that sound doctrine can be abandoned when people just have a desire to hear what they want to hear. Now, we may look at that and we may say, well, that, you know, that's talking about those extreme, odd religious views that people might hold. Well, is that necessarily the case? You know, we look around even at some of our own brethren that still will teach things that the Bible does about baptism, will still teach things that the Bible does about the Lord's church, and yet they will very readily begin to adopt practices for which there's no authority in Scripture, practices that are unsound. And we'll ask, why is it that they do that? Where do you find in Scripture the authority to do that? And we don't have to find authority for everything. We don't. We don't have to establish some kind of foundation in Scripture for the things that we do and teach. Why then would we be any different from any religious group that you could find? Why in the world would we have any type of distinction if it's not important for us to endure sound doctrine? We've got to be careful how we listen. Because if we're not careful, we will be simply responding with itching ears. You know, we'll look and we'll see other folks do that. This is what other people say. I know I can't find it in the Word of God, but surely if enough people say it for long enough, it's got to be acceptable. Are we good listeners to the Word of God? You know, there's an alternative, and I think in the text that we looked at in Mark chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 13, and now go, if you would, to Luke, to Luke's account in Luke chapter 8, where Luke offers to us his account of this parable discourse. There is a different disposition that should characterize those that will truly be pleasing to God. It is described in one of the parables that Jesus teaches, the one that I mentioned that is in all three of the synoptic gospels, the parable of the sower. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, I'd like you to notice as he describes these different conditions of soil that the seed had been cast out upon. And you'll notice that most of them, it's not that the seed didn't get there or there was something wrong with the seed. In some cases, the seed even begins to grow, but not all of them produce and bear fruit. But I want you to notice verse 15 of Luke chapter 8 says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word." Now I want you to notice that here, in one sense, we could recognize and go back even to verse 11. You'll notice that it describes hearing of the word in each of these situations. But I want you to notice the difference here in verse 15. But the ones that fell in the good ground are those who, having heard the word with what? Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, is that some kind of idea of premillennialism? Is that some kind of idea that says, all right, well, you have to already have been predetermined by God to be among those that are the elect. God had to already change your heart so that you could even hear that message. Is that what it's talking about? No. I think instead it's just talking about that willingness to put away what your ears want to hear. To put away those things that might dull your hearing or make you hardened to the things. Put away your predisposed disposition. That's what he's talking about here with a good and noble heart. You know, if we were good to begin with, in the sense that we didn't need any mercy on the part of God, we didn't need the shed blood of Jesus Christ, why would we need the message of the gospel to begin with? It's not talking about goodness in that sense. It's talking about the disposition. The disposition of the heart, the willingness to hear and receive and a notice to keep it and to bear fruit, how? With patience. We'll come back to that in a few moments. We talked last week and we've talked in our Wednesday night adult class about an example that I think is so beautiful in Acts chapter 17, an example of a type of readiness to hear the word of God that I think each and every one of us should aspire towards. That good and noble heart that's described in the parable of the sower is exemplified in the example that we find here among those who heard the gospel in Berea. It wasn't that they were just better people. It wasn't that they were just predetermined by God in a certain way. No, notice in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when the gospel goes to the city of Berea, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The disposition that will be pleasing to God, the disposition that is acceptable before God, is that disposition that says, all right, I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. I want to learn from your revelation. You're my God. I'm the creature. I don't know how to direct my own steps. I will listen to what you say. And I will test what is said. When people claim to preach from your word, when people claim to deliver the message of the word of God, I want to test it. That was the attitude of those in Berea. Well, what kind of listener am I? What kind of listener are you? You know, as we think about this, and again, I'm not talking about this specific lesson this morning. You know, it's interesting. You preach a lesson like this, and I think I'm seeing every eye in the audience. But I'm not talking specifically about this lesson. I'm talking about our willingness to listen to the Word of God. It is important for us to be good listeners when it comes to our opening the Word of God and our studying it, either when we're alone and in private in our homes, whether we're in a public setting such as this and the gospel is being preached, whether we're in a Bible class, whether we're on a break at work, or whether we're trying to talk to a coworker or a schoolmate about the Word of God, whether we're trying to determine what we ought to do in life, we are confronted with a question. It's important for us to listen to the Word of God. Go back to Matthew chapter 13, and I want us to notice just a little bit beyond the text that we stopped with a few moments ago, where there we read the quotation from Isaiah about the disposition and attitude of those who had become hard of hearing. Jesus acknowledges that those to whom he was speaking at the time, and may it be said that those who hear these words this morning are not of those that are hard of hearing. Not of those that have closed their hearts and hardened their hearts. But notice, if we are to be good listeners, that is the only way in which we can truly be blessed from the Lord. In verse 16, Jesus says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Have you ever wondered why the Lord would make that observation? Why would Jesus say, you know, the prophets, the wise men of the past, there are things that the disciples in the first century, and by extension, those of us who live today, that can simply open the Gospels and read the full account of Jesus' life upon the earth, can read the teaching of the Gospel by the apostles in the first century. We can see and learn things that they didn't even know, that they were never exposed to. Why did the Lord say that? I would submit to you that it is to urge us to recognize the great blessing that we experience in being given the opportunity to hear the message of the Gospel. But beyond that, you know, if you realize that something is special, it changes the way that you listen, doesn't it? You know, if I were to get a group of you and say, come here, I've got something to tell you. It's really important. This is going to be great for you. And I really set it up like that, in that way. Would you just be kind of casually listening? Oh, what's he going to do? Probably not. You know, probably you'd have your eyes wide open. You'd be listening very carefully because you'd want to know, what is this that's so important? You know, really, when we open the Word of God, when we listen to the Word of God preached, when we study from the Word of God, we are hearing things that men and women in the past longed to be able to hear. Solomon didn't know about the Messiah in the way that we're able to. David didn't know about the Gospel in the way that we're able to. Do we have that attitude, that disposition that is anxious to hear? It's important for us to be good listeners as well, because it is only by having a willingness and an attitude that is open to the message that we'll really be able to benefit from it in the sense of salvation. You know, Scripture talks about the faith that is involved in salvation. It is in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 that we learn about the power of this message that we hear and the wonderful nature of it. It is there that Paul declares in those familiar words, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We want that salvation. We want that power of God unto salvation that comes in the message of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection upon the cross. We want to be able to experience that and have the hope of eternal life in the age to come. Well, do we understand how that faith that is saving faith truly comes? Turn over to Romans chapter 10 and notice in another familiar text, but one that probably we may just take a bit out of it and not deal with its full context at all times. In Romans chapter 10, the apostle is talking about why it is that many of the Jews had not accepted the Messiah, had not accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And he devotes three chapters, in chapters 9, 10, and 11, to a discourse in which Paul pours his heart out, expressing his own willingness to be cut off from God if somehow his brethren in the flesh could be saved. But then he explores, why is it that they have rejected? Is it that there was something wrong with the message? Notice verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" Now, that's the context in which he's talking about this. His brethren, the Jews in the flesh, had rejected the Messiah. They had the opportunity. That message had gone out. And yet they've not all obeyed. I want you to notice then the verse that we quote so frequently. to talk about faith. Why is it important for you and I to be good listeners to the Word of God? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the kind of faith that is saving faith, the kind of faith that is acceptable before God, is not that faith that says, you know what, I think this is what I'll do, and I grab it out of the air. The kind of faith that is acceptable to God is that kind of faith which is grounded in the Word of God. I have heard the revelation of the Word of God through the study of His Word. And I implement that into my life. I put it into my heart. And that generates a faith. That faith that chapter 1 talked about, the just shall live by faith. That faith which is part of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. But you remember in the text that we looked at a few moments ago, in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, where he talks about that final seed in the parable of the sower. You remember what it said? Those who hear with a good and noble heart, what will result? They will keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, the bearing of fruit that's talked about in the New Testament sometimes may relate to evangelism. I'm afraid that sometimes we may treat it as if, all right, bearing fruit means just how many new prospects can we talk to? How many folks can we convert? I wish that we could just have the doors bursting open with so many people that are coming to obey the gospel. And that's certainly a good thing. But I think we must understand that sometimes bearing fruit is not talking about conversion of new souls. Sometimes bearing fruit is talking about the way that we live our life, those things that we do. Now, certainly teaching the lost is one element of bearing fruit. It is something that is a result of a faithful life. But if we are to bear fruit, then we must listen to the Word of God. That's what it said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Those that hear with a good and noble heart keep it and bear fruit with patience. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'd like us to notice verse 6. As it describes this very attitude, as the message of the gospel goes out and people hear it and respond to it, what results from that? Begin in verse 3, as the apostle begins the thought, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Notice, they heard it. That's what led them to faith. Verse 6, which has come to you as it has also in all the world. Listen. And is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. I've got to be a good listener if I want my life to bear the kind of fruit that will be acceptable unto the Lord. The kind of fruit that's described in that parable of the sower. But I also need to be a good listener if I'm going to guard against apostasy. We've talked recently in our Wednesday night class about the use of the word apostasia, the Greek form of this word, in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm preparing an article that I'll try to have ready before long on apostasy and what that really is, the danger of apostasy. It's a turning away. It is a rejection of true and sound faith. And it is a danger not only in a broad sense. It is possible for groups of people to turn away from sound doctrine. You remember what we read earlier. Because of itching ears, they'll not endure sound doctrine, and as a result, they turn to apostasy. But it's also true individually. In my own life, I can come to the point that I lose faith. I can come to the point that I abandon faith, and in which case, I have given over to apostasy. How do I avoid that? Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. I must be a good listener if I'm going to avoid that drifting away or that apostasy. I must be a good listener in order to avoid being rejected by the Lord. You know, we talk so much from this pulpit and at this place about the Lord's willingness to accept those who turn to him. And what a blessing that is. He is willing to accept the repentant soul. But we probably would do a disservice if we fail to acknowledge the fact that in the same way he is willing to accept, he also has promised that he will reject those that reject him. In Matthew chapter 10, for example, in verses 14 and 15, he is talking about the reaction that people would have to those that he sent out. He has appointed the 12 apostles at the beginning of the chapter. He has sent them out to teach. And then notice verses 14 and 15. He says, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, think about this for just a moment. And you may say, well, how in the world does that relate to what we can experience? We can't be around the apostles. We're not going to hear them teach directly and reject or accept what they say. Well, simply because we can't see them with our eyes. Does that mean that we are not exposed to their teaching that they brought forth, when he sent them out? I would submit to you that as we open the Word of God, notice this very text that we just read. What is the name of the book? It is Matthew, one of the apostles. And we could look at many New Testament books and see that they bear the name of those apostles and prophets of the New Testament. If Jesus says, if they won't hear your words when they went and spoke in a city, are we doing anything any different if we look to the Word of God and we say, well, you know, I really don't like what Matthew said here. I don't like what he said in chapter 19 about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I don't like what Paul said over here in Romans chapter 1 about homosexuality. I don't like that. We are rejecting the Word of God. We are rejecting the teaching of the apostles. Look over in Acts chapter 13 with me for a moment, and I think we can see how this was demonstrated when, in fact, the apostles taught in places and there were those that rejected the message. In Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 49. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. It says, "On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Now notice the very kind of thing that's described in Matthew chapter 13. Some get tripped up by what is said here in verse 48. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believe. But there's no difficulty there. Because notice what it said earlier. Verse 46. Why was it that some did not accept it? They judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. How did they do that? By their reception of the word. And so, because they rejected the word, they were rejected. We must be good listeners if we are to avoid rejection by the Lord. And finally, we must be good listeners if we are to escape condemnation. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'd ask you to notice with me verses 41 and 42. As he talks about the reaction that he received, those that were not good listeners to his message, he offered a very stern warning that I think should ring in our ears this morning. He said, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Now, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about himself. He is the one that is greater than Jonah. And he was speaking to those of his day, just as he speaks to us today. He gives another example here. He says, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. What is our willingness to listen to him? What kind of listeners are we? I want to end with one last text. Turn over to James chapter 1 with me for a moment. James chapter 1. And I want us to notice that as we're talking here this morning about the importance of listening and asking ourselves, I'm asking myself personally, and I hope you are as well, how do I listen to the Word of God? Do I listen to it and apply it to my life? Do I listen to it and harden my heart? Or do I just listen for those things that I want to hear? And I hope that we've challenged ourselves as we've thought about that this morning to be good listeners. But we would certainly be mistaken if we somehow thought that this whole process ends with just what takes place in the ear. Because we must understand that really, as we're talking about being a good listener, you know, the word in Greek that is translated obey literally means to hear under the one that is commanding. We are not good listeners if we simply absorb what is being said, we simply accept the things that are taught, but then fail to do them. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James through the Holy Spirit says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What kind of listener are you? What kind of listener am I? I would hope that as we open the pages of the Word of God, as we sit and listen to the gospel proclaimed, that we open our hearts fully to it, that we submit our lives completely to whatever we find within. Are there going to be difficult things? You bet there'll be difficult things. But I'll tell you what, when we compare the hope of eternal life that is laid before us and the ominous threat of eternal punishment that lies as an alternative to that, the most difficult challenge that the Word of God could ever pose to us, it cannot even compare. If you're here this morning and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, would you not act upon that belief? Put your faith in Him as the Son of God, but confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that does nothing but separate you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, that your sins might be washed away. And then don't just stop at that point. Baptism is just the beginning. Baptism is when we start the listening process. We start obeying and yielding to the Word of God in every aspect of our life. If you, as a Christian, recognize, you know what, I haven't been a good listener. I haven't been obeying what my Master commands me in the Word of God. You've got breath in your lungs, and the Lord has given you time and opportunity to change that. We are given the privilege, as your brothers and sisters of Christ, in Christ, of being able to go to God and to pray for your forgiveness and on your behalf. If we can help you, won't you come? While we stand and sing.